This is The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies, hosted by Propel.
We're back. We hope you enjoyed the bonus episodes leading up to Propulsion 2022. You can catch all of our previous sessions at propelsoftware.com. But up right now is rule number 8, never stop evolving. Your host, Dario Ambrosini, and guest Dimitri Geller, VP of Growth Strategy and Business Transformation at Baker Desley, discuss how digital transformation can give your company a competitive advantage in a build, buy, and sell anywhere world. Check it out.
Dimitri, thank you for joining us at Propulsion 2022.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Let's dig in with your title, which I really love. We'll get to that second. But first, before we get into what you do, tell us a little bit about Baker Desley and the company's business model.
Sure. The company is definitely, I would say, very unique. Old company. We are the one-stop shop, the only really one-stop shop global textiles company. And I know within textiles, there are a lot of different segments. So we focus on mattress ticking globally.
Okay. So are you selling to consumers or are you selling to other businesses that are taking your textiles and incorporating them in their products?
Yep. We're B2B. So we work directly with the brands in designing and kind of helping them with the trends. But then we usually send that to a contract manufacturer that makes that product for that brand, which then sells it to the consumer.
Okay. And are your CMs local or are they distributed across the globe?
Global.
Okay. So complex business, lots of partners, international, B2B, so demanding customers. Not that B2C is any less demanding. And I want to move forward to your title, which is officially the first time I have seen a VP, and I want to make sure I get this right, of growth strategy and business transformation. So let's start.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to explore here. So is this two different jobs that you just happen to be doing both of them, or are these two roles related and that's why they've been combined under one umbrella here?
No, good question. Now that I think about it and the way you phrase the question, I'm almost more interested now to find out why would they be different, because they're so tied together. I think in order to grow the company, you need to transform within, right? So usually within, if you find a growth opportunity in order, maybe a new segment, right, new customers or some kind of product development, somehow within the company will have to change, evolve itself. And so that's kind of my focus. So it's extremely a cross-functional role, obviously by the nature of it. So I tie in with the commercial team on finding what is our next new niche, right? Either how do we reach the same customers but do more for them, or how do we find new customers? And then I take that information, I go internal, and I look at how do we enable us to get there quicker, right? So it's really allowing me to really step out from the day-to-day fighting that I think a lot of people get lost in the day-to-day execution, and really focus on where do we need to be a year from now, to really 2 years from now? Because a lot of these things take a while to implement.
Okay, so let's explore this process a little bit. So you look out 1 to 2 years out, you've identified a revenue opportunity or a market opportunity. What does business transformation actually mean? Is it just, we got a new technology provider? Is it changing the processes? Is it people? Like just how do you get from point A to point B 12 to 24 months from now?
Yeah, I would say it's tied back down to the basics. I'm not really truly reinventing the wheel here, and I don't want to say that. It's what we're doing and how we're doing it. I think those are the two biggest things. So I think when I look at 1 to 2 years out, I want to make sure that we are evolving our process. So it could be either from a technology standpoint or from a development standpoint. So that's the kind of what we're trying to do. But I would say from the people, it's how we look at it. So my transformation is not just on the process and the software, the physical aspect, but it's about how the individual contributors, our frontline leaders, are thinking about the future and about the business itself, because I think that's important, right? So that's if you can tie those two together, that to me is a kind of fuel to feed the fire, in a sense, like the organization itself will feed that growth once I'm able to enable them, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. When you think about your role then, and how you're enabling that, how you're enabling the company, you know, what are the top trends that are front and center for you? I mean, and maybe I'll ask the question slightly differently.
Sure.
When you think through the big things that have really helped you achieve these business transformations so you can pursue the growth strategy, what have been the top, you know, 1, 2, 3 things that you've done that you've seen are really working in this space?
Yeah, I would say in our industry, and I've been not like a seasoned veteran as most in the textile industries, but people usually in the industry itself, you know, usually people are here for 20, 30 years, and I'm kind of going on my 7th year. So I'm a newbie to the industry. I think there's a danger to that. Whenever you're from one industry, you're within that industry, you kind of get blindsided, right? And that's dangerous sometimes. Doesn't mean that it's wrong to have those individuals in the organization, because you need that experience, you need those veterans. But I think you need an outside perspective. So what I have kind of brought, and that's helped the organization, that's kind of helped the team kind of transform, is bring those outside perspectives. So my background is, I worked at a power generation company. I worked at a biomedical company. I worked at a food distribution company. I worked at a mattress company, a company that made mattresses. I made soft goods, that I did carpentry, that did the consumer electronics. So, and I've always been in operations, right? And in some sort of fashion, and seeing all those opportunities, how those companies work, they're all very different. But then taking that best practice and sharing those ideas now within my organization, and them seeing a different light, and then they speaking up, seeing what they like. And then I take that and I double down and I enable it. I think for me, it's the biggest power that I have is just opening the conversation to them and then helping them drive it.
Okay. So when you think about your background, certainly a varied journey to get to where you are today. I mean, if there are companies or people out there thinking about, we know that we need to transform the way that we're doing business. We've got this goal, we've got this strategy, but we need to change the way we're doing. Would you recommend bringing in an outsider with the fresh perspective?
100%.
Maybe has that type of varied background? 100%. Okay.
Don't be scared, for somebody to come in and I would say, ask a bunch of questions. Right, ask a bunch of questions, but the individual has to have the mindset, at least from my perspective, is it's not about taking what you did somewhere else and putting it in. It's about best practicing, finding that nice middle. Because between the industries, you can't just copy one recipe and put it in. But I believe in that. And that's kind of what we've done here at Becker Desley. We focus on adding leaders that are not from the industry, are good leaders within that core competency, and that are able to analytically adapt to what they need to do within our organization, but they're not the textile industry veterans. They're not. And I believe has helped us a lot.
Okay, great. So you've got this team of, I guess I wouldn't call it a team. It seems like you've got really, it's a great breadth. It sounds like you've got the industry veterans that have been there a while. You've got some of the newcomers bringing fresh ideas. To the extent that you can, what is the long-term vision for the strategy here? I mean, just from a business perspective, you'd mentioned that you start with where you want to go. So where does Becker Desley want to go here?
Yeah. We want to become the preferred one-stop shop kind of sleep solutions company, right? So we're in the space of sleep, and we make mattress ticking. And that involves not only the fabric, it involves making the covers. We also, you know, do mattress protectors, pillowcases, et cetera. But we want to be the preferred one-stop solution where you can do product development and your preferred partner and speed to market, right? So in this industry, what has become, it's become a legacy problem of long lead times. Normally a development cycle in this industry takes 18 months, which is, I would say, maybe in certain other industry that seems normal, but the dynamics have changed so much where the consumers are driving the brands, driving us to iterate quicker, right? To refresh quicker, because the consumers, they're changing tastes, the competition within that space become much more competitive. So the brands need to continue to iterate quicker. So we want to reduce that development cycle. And that's our journey, is to kind of become that powerhouse where a brand can come in and then we become that one-stop solution for them.
So if you're doing that, multiple revenue lines being sold to the same customer, who in turn, it sounds like you're almost a B2B2C, that you've got that end consumer who's buying the end product that is ultimately driving the need for faster innovation, is driving the product requirements, and that's flowing back through to you. And then you're left with, you said 18 month lead times or cycle times?
Development time. Our raw material lead time is 6 months.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, which obviously that's also one thing we're working on, but that's been the norm. It's 6 months for raw materials, which is, that's difficult. Crazy. And you think about the supply chain problems that we've been having, managing that flexibility has been overwhelmingly difficult.
Yeah. So let's dig into that. But before we do, I want to come back to, so you've got your demand signals, you got your customer requirements, and then you've got this long 18-month period. Is one of your goals compressing that development cycle time? And is that a competitive advantage if you can do that?
100%. And I guess that's the reason why we're trying to get Propel in.
Okay. So we'll go there.
I'll put it out there. Yeah. No, it is. I just, in all seriousness, it is. One of my initiatives is implementing a PLM system, and we picked obviously Propel for that platform. The reason being is, from our NPS scores, which we take very seriously, and we continue to evolve with that feedback, but we're a little slow on samples, we're a little slow on lead, the lead time is too long. How do we reduce that cycle time so we can get to the market quicker? So that's been the overwhelming kind of scream from our customers. And so one of the tactics is implementing a PLM system.
Okay. And then how does that specifically reduce those lead times? I understand it's more of a vision at this point, but how do you, see this working over the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah. So what we see is, if you can have a platform that increases the transparency between the customers. And when I say the customers, it can be internal customers and external customers. Right now, there's a lot of delays of just, I would say, people following up on a call where somebody has to call somebody else, somebody goes somewhere else to follow up on what's going on with that project, et cetera, or what is the status of the yarn that's coming in, et cetera. So the focus is connect and provide the transparency for the project itself. So our brands will get access to PLM. Everybody within our organization is going to be trained and understand the deadlines within that project. So there's a lot of transparency and also accountability. And also it'll help reduce the confusion, because we have a lot of projects. We don't just work on, five projects in a year. I would say hundreds and hundreds of projects annually. So we need a platform that helps reduce the complexity so our individual contributors, the people that are doing the work, the experts, know what the priority is. To be honest, we came where we didn't have that, right? It's a little bit of Excel, it's a little bit of email, it's a little bit of a spreadsheet, it's a little bit that somebody knows exactly what's going on, and when you and that's the driver. We need to combine that all that information and then seamlessly connect it to our powerhouse, which is our SAP, right? So the moment everything passes the toll gates within our development cycle, it's released to properly order and scale that within our manufacturing.
Okay. So sounds like you're bringing the whole company together in certain ways. Are you connecting in those demand signals directly into Propel?
That's the long-term vision. Yeah. The long-term vision though we have is we have a, you know, we use Microsoft Dynamics so far as a CRM platform. So it's, you have this pipeline of opportunity, which we will see feed into Propel for new product introduction, kind of new product developments, which would then connect to SAP. So it's and then at the same time from SAP to Propel goes back and forth. So for us, connecting the systems is as important as the systems themselves. Because then if they're not connected, then again, I have this manual transaction that delays the process or adds to the confusion or adds human error in some sort of fashion.
Perfect. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to come back to one of the topics you hit on earlier, supply chain. And I think everybody by now has heard about supply chain disruption. If they haven't, they're living under a rock. So you go back, you get the demand signal. And again, understanding that this will be a longer term vision, it comes in directly to Propel. From there, you know, you're managing your suppliers and all of a sudden your supplier disappears or an entire province in China gets shut down or a ship gets stuck in the Suez Canal. I mean, it seems like these disruptions are happening more frequently and they're more severe as well. So when you think through how to manage the changes, when you think through how to manage whether they're unexpected or whether they're longer term changes in demand, how are you managing the business transformation from that perspective? Or how are you going to manage those interruptions when they arise?
Yeah, fair point. And I think it's actually, even though it's painful right now, I would say it's probably the most exciting time for us, because I can take that as a tool and a reasoning to why we need to further transform how we work. And what I mean by that is, within PLM, before our, even our current process, because we're still evolving through our PLM journey, but we had significant gaps where, you know, for certain components, you know, did we do our due diligence in ensuring that we have a second source or a third source? You know, what is the risk? Are we putting all our eggs in one basket? And to be honest, some of our decisions were, because before the problems weren't that severe, you just go with the, you know, the quality is there, but you go with the best cost and it has a long lead time, but that's kind of where you go. That's not the reality anymore. You need to protect your supply chain. And so one thing that we're now doing is, and that's the hope of PLM, is adding that due diligence, is that we are not allowed to launch a product if we're single source on certain raw materials. And then depending on the opportunity of that project, right? How big of a revenue it is, we might make a decision that we have to be locally sourced to protect our kind of speed to market or protect that initial promotion that, you know, for our customer. So we were using PLM to actually add these toll gates and checks and balances so that we, in the future, that when this issue does come up, which it will, right? Supply chain will always be an issue. That's why you get in this world of a job of supply chain, because otherwise it'd be kind of boring, right? So you want these challenges. But I think from a business, from a leadership standpoint, which what I want is to understand my risk going into this year or the next 2 years or the next 3 months. And the way that I know that is by pulling data from, for example, from, imagine in the future in PLM, we'll be able to pull data that I know, you know, let's just say these products were single stores. So I could put them at this kind of risk. If they're dual stores, I could put them at this kind of risk. And then I can build my kind of forecast data based on the risk input that I get from PLM. And that's kind of the future. What I'm thinking is just the risk will always be there. You just got to be a little smarter about being realistic about the future and communicating that upfront with your customers. I think that's probably the biggest thing that we need to do is that if a customer is saying, I want the best price, there's a risk associated with that. Okay. And as long as we're in agreement, we have no issues doing that. But if there's a little bit of adjustment we need to do, we're happy to do that too.
Okay. So if I summarize here, just a couple of things that we've discussed. So you're building a redundant and resilient supply chain. You're transparent with your customer. If they want to go more towards costs and that's going to bring risk, it's communicating that to the customer. And then going back to one of the topics you discussed earlier, it's bringing in some of the outside experts to actually help with the business transformation. So I think three very solid pieces of advice, but I am going to put you on the spot and ask if you have any other advice that maybe we haven't covered in those three for any company that's looking to undergo business transformation.
You did put me on the spot.
I know. I took the three best ones, and
you did a great job summarizing. I appreciate it. Sometimes my brain goes everywhere. That's the issue of this role. I'm always like wondering and thinking. I would say an important kind of advice or kind of that I would have is all this does require money. That's the nature of business. So as a leader, you have to find ways to get that capital so that you can make these kind of bold decisions to try something new. Win or lose, you will always learn. So it doesn't matter if you win or lose, but you will always learn. And once you learn, you take that and you make the next iteration. So you can't be scared about how the winning or the losing part. I think what people do get scared about is asking for capital, especially in this kind of climate. But you still have to continue to invest. The customers' demands are still growing, and they're just changed a little bit. So it's just our job to adjust to it.
Okay. I think that's great advice. It sounds like, you know, invest the money and the capital expenditure, and the ROI will come if you continue to iterate. I think that's fantastic advice. So we have time for one more question. One of the things that we're seeing more and more often in supply chain is sustainability. It's been front and center for a lot of our customers. The requirements, especially those operating in Europe and other parts of the world, are just skyrocketing, it feels. Do you see that same impact? I mean, is sustainability a big part of your supply chain strategy as well?
Huge. Huge. Beccadezza has been working on this for several years. I guess being fortunate that it's a Belgium, you know, headquartered company, and so that we get a lot of influence from Europe. But just this year, we're launching kind of our circularity initiative. And so what we are doing is partnering with some of our customers and how would I put this? In adding transparency in what the bill of materials are. So once the product comes to the consumer is going to be able to communicate and make decisions about how to recycle or upcycle, right, that product. So we're trying to provide more data and more tools to our contract manufacturers. So our brands that we work with can help our consumers kind of make a better decision and what they do with that end of life product.
Okay, great. Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our session. Appreciate the insights. Again, I think you have a fantastic title, the VP of Growth Strategy and Business Transformation. I absolutely love it. Dmitry, thank you for joining us today and sharing all these great insights.
No, thanks again. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Platform Rules Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelplm.com/podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelplm.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, platform rules.